I am here this morning with Autumn from the Kingsridge Elderberries. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So we met at the Blue Collar Confessionalism Conference, but actually we've been talking on Instagram a little bit before this, and we thought it'd be cool to let all of you know about their business. So tell us a little bit about Kingsridge Elderberries.
Yeah. So Trevor and I actually met when we were going to Purdue, and he was studying crop and soil science. So we get very detailed and nerdy about soils and plant health. That's like our wheelhouse. So my husband grew up on a dairy farm, always wanted to farm, got closed all those doors of him going back to the dairy farm. And then I was making elderberry syrup for our family, and he called it voodoo magic, but we drink it because he's like, it's delicious. And then we realized it's a native plant to Indiana. We could grow this, and we started researching it, and he's like, let's do this. There's only 5% of the elderberries that are in the U.S. that are consumed in the U.S. are grown in the U.S. 95% come in from Europe, and they're dried. So we're like, this is a market that's not tapped yet. Let's go for it. So we have 5.5 acres of elderberries that we pick by hand, and then they go through a destemmer, and we put them through a triple base sink, and we wash them, and then they're immediately frozen because elderberries don't really have long shelf life, so you have to freeze them or they will start to ferment into wine, which is why they're very popular in winemaking a lot of the time. And so we started doing elderberry syrups, and we have cold pressed elderberry juice, and that was kind of how all of this started.
Okay, that's amazing. And tell me a little bit about why elderberry syrup is so beneficial.
So elderberry syrup, research has shown that for daily immune support, if you take a tablespoon a day as an adult and a teaspoon a day as a child, it will naturally bind to your cells, and it won't keep you from getting like colds or flus, but it can make it much more difficult. And when you do get them, it'll help you recover a lot quicker. And other than strawberries, it is the highest vitamin C berry out there, and also has vitamin A and vitamin C, vitamins Bs, like iron, phosphorus. It has like, it's just almost like a superfood is when people talk about superfoods. So it's one of the most beneficial berries out there that God has created for us. So it's a great little, my husband always calls it, his little punchline is helping a little berry to help push back the curse.
That is so cool. I love that. I saw that on your website. And then tell me what you do with, okay, so do you give your kids the elderberry syrup daily in the fall and winter, year round? What do you do with it? And then what do you do with the cold pressed juice?
Yeah, so I do give our kids the elderberry syrup pretty much daily. I mean, in the summer, like anyone else, we tend to slow down a little bit too. But definitely through like the school year starting, the entire school year, we'll take it daily. And then if we do, like one of us starts to get sick, we'll start taking it 3 to 4 times a day, and we'll like weigh up it. Now, what other than just taking elderberry syrup, we like to add it to things. Like we like to add it to ginger ale, especially like the spicy ginger beers. Mm-hmm. They're not alcoholic, but yeah, like the ginger beer, that's really good in there. We've also found with Greek, unsweetened Greek yogurt, that's really good to add the elderberry syrup on there. The sweetened, it's just too much.
We make gummies with elderberry syrup.
Yes, gummies are always a really good one. So the juice you can use to make your own elderberry syrup with, or pies or jams or your own gummies. And so there's different options. We start our elderberry syrup with the juice. So the juice is the first ingredient you'll see listed because it is the main one. And if you look at other elderberry products, they'll say water is the first ingredient because they're rehydrating the berries. So this is a much more heavy dose of what you're going to be getting because it is a juice-based product and not a rehydrated berry product.
Awesome. So how can people find you guys?
Yeah, so our website is tkrfarm.com, and we're also on Instagram at the Kingsridge Elderberries, or on Facebook at the Kingsridge Elderberries, and that's a great place to find us. We put lots of updates on there, and then my favorite thing that we do is on Saturdays, I do Saturday Funnies, and I collect funny memes from the week, because I always want giggles.
I love that.
We have 5 children, and, you know, I need to laugh. Laughter is a good medicine, so we're always looking for funny memes and things, too. So, yeah, Instagram's a good way, and Facebook's a good way to keep up with us, and our website, and we're very responsive to emails, or we actually have our phone numbers listed when we take calls all the time and answer questions. We're very open, and if anybody wants to come out for farm tours, we let people come out and see the farm, too, so we have nothing to hide at all.
Yay. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Check out the Kingsridge Elderberries.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks. I'm here today with Becky McNeely and Kate Hutchcraft. Yeah, so I thought Kate's last name was Hutchcraft.
And I was just going to let go.
She would not. She didn't tell me.
I just thought, you know, it's so funny at some, like at some graduation someday if they announced Audrey's name and you like 20 years later.
Wait a minute.
It's close.
Hutchcraft is way cuter than Hutchcraft. See, I was telling Beck the other day, I was like, Hutchcraft is way cuter because it's like a hutch.
And I was thinking, you know, I thought, I don't have my name on Instagram, my whole name. It's on Facebook.
I've never said it.
We're not on Facebook. No. So, right.
I've never said it, seen it.
So I was like, how would she know?
And you never corrected me?
No.
It doesn't come up much.
Do you enunciate the T?
Just say Hutchcraft.
Hutchcraft?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other night, whenever Becky told me, she was like, approached it so seriously that I was like, what did my kid do?
I just didn't want to be embarrassed.
I was like, because somebody else was in the room, and I was like, I don't want to embarrass her.
You're very sweet. I was looking at a picture or something on your phone, and you happened to text, and it said, Kate,
I started giggling, and I was like, I can't
just let this slide. I have to tell her, but I didn't want to embarrass her, so I was like, hey, by the way.
It didn't.
No, neither.
So that's why I texted you.
Yeah.
Hey, Mrs. Hutchcraft.
I know. I saw that. And then I texted Becky and Shania. And I said, okay, which one of you
who ratted me
out? Yeah. So Becky and Kate and I are here today. And we are going to do a podcast.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's my introduction.
Maybe
we're going to do a podcast.
Our combined brain power will have enough for one.
Yeah.
One brain.
Sorry.
Don't knock it almost like a table over.
Not getting a situation.
Yeah.
I know. I was telling them that Valor, see?
Right.
Oak. That is my baby's name. Oak started sleeping through the night this week. You would think that you'd feel good sleeping through the night when you've been waking up five times a night, but it doesn't. Your body's like, wait, what's this?
Your hormones are jacked up.
And hormones get messed up, and your brain's like, no, well, you've slept too much now.
Your
body no longer works. So hopefully our brains will work during this. So anyway, do you guys have icebreaker, anything to chat about? Anything interesting that you guys did today? Interesting of note?
Well, you guys were talking about fall.
Almost fall.
I
told the kids keep asking when we can put decorations out, and I said September.
We can.
I always wait until September. I know you're gonna laugh, but I have like months blocked off. So it's like my fall stuff is September, October, November.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then December, January, February is winter.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of blocked off that way. And so in my head, otherwise I would be decorating for
fall right now.
But I did break and I got my diffuser oil out that's pumpkin spice. And I put that in my diffusers today.
You said you got that one at Slant Therapy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we are talking about slander. If you have ever been slandered, then hopefully this will be encouraging to you. And if you haven't, praise God for that. And hopefully this will stick in your brain for when the opportunity arises for you to be slandered. Because we're living in a world where if you are living as a biblical woman or your husband living as a biblical man, you're so countercultural that people are going to think you're crazy. And people will say mean things about you when you say the Bible says this, fill in the blank. So, if you just say simple things the Bible says, people do not like that. So, people will slander you and utter all kinds of evil against you for his name's sake. So, be ready for that. And today we're going to just kind of talk a little bit about slander and how to respond to it when you are slandered against.
I think one thing to remember right off the bat is that we shouldn't be surprised by it.
Yeah.
Because it can be surprising to hear that it's happening, but not being shocked about it at the same time, because again, like you said, if you are living out biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, biblical structure for family, that kind of thing, it is so countercultural. You are going to get whether it's outside the church, within the church, and I think the hardest is when it's within the church. But again, just not being surprised by it. 1 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And so the Bible guarantees us that we are going to encounter slander. We're going to encounter people who are reckless, people who are wanting to pursue pleasure rather than pursue God, all of those things. So not being surprised by it. And then, and don't know where you want to start off with this, but for me, the first response I think that I usually take to slander is asking myself, is it true? Is whatever this person is saying about me, my family, my church, whatever it is it true? And if it is true, repent.
Yeah.
Repent to the Lord, then repent to the people that you hurt, and then be mindful to not repeat that sin and move forward.
You know? I think that's a great first thing to say is, first off, is what they're saying true? Because that's a different matter than just slander, which is lying about you, saying evil things about you that aren't true. But if they're gossiping about you, but what they're saying is true, that's still a time for repentance.
Right.
So searching your heart and, God, is there something in this that I need to repent about? And if so, being humble and tenderhearted and repentant. Quick repentance. Yeah. And it not being a big deal. Be like, okay, I'm sorry. And moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes we're really quick to just get defensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When somebody comes at us with a charge, whether it's, even if it's from a friend, sometimes it's easy to get defensive. And that shouldn't be our first response. Our first response should be, okay, is this true? Let's investigate that. Hold up. Like, look at my life. Maybe even ask for counsel from a friend that you respect. Is this true about me? Right. Is this true about me? Do I come off this way? Do I approach people this way? Do I, you know, do these things?
Am I in a cult?
Yes.
Am I accidentally in a cult
that I did not know about? So asking those questions and again, like we've talked about before, I think this is also where the value of having good, godly friends comes into play. Having a friend that you can go to say, hey, this is what was said. I'm not sure what to do with this. I need you to be honest with me and tell me, what's your perspective on this?
Yeah.
And then if you have a friend that comes to you with that question, be honest with them and tell them, I think you do come off this way. Or yes, I think, or no, you're not a cult, or you're not mean to whoever, you know.
And I think also having friends that read the Bible.
Yes.
So that it is put up against the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, is this actually a sin?
Right.
You know, or is this just someone's perspective of something that it's not sinful, something that you're doing? They just don't like it.
Yeah.
They just don't like it that you have a strong conviction about homeschooling or whatever, you know?
Right.
Fill in the blank. So I think that's important too.
And it's important to not get overly emotional right off the bat. Like, if we are doing something wrong and we are in sin, then it's important to not give way to the emotional aspect of, like, we need to be humble. Sorry.
Yeah,
we need to be humble and know that we will sin and we will sin against others. And so if we truly are doing something sinful and wrong and it's brought to our attention, our first response, although it kind of goes against all of our nature, should be thank you for, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it is correct, like, thank you for bringing this up.
Yeah. So that would fall in the category if someone comes to you.
Yes.
And says, hey, Kate, I think you are just so
sinful right now.
You're like, this
yeah.
You're like, what would even fit?
I'm saying
nothing.
You're being a real leaky faucet.
Okay.
Well, Ursa's that you're just so leaky faucet.
Quick break in the episode to tell you about a company that I'm really excited about. They're called the Peony Pop. Peony Pop is a Christian company that creates sweatshirts for women. Their goal is to help support the nations and help you share the gospel with others. Their designs are embroidered, bright, and fun. Follow along on Instagram at the Peony Pop for sneak peeks of new arrivals that are coming soon. And you can use the code FRUITFUL15 at checkout for 15% off your order. That's FRUITFUL15.
Okay, so that,
you should see me post.
That actually isn't slander, though. That's not slander.
Right.
Slander is like, I'm going to go to Becky
and
be like, Kate is a leaky faucet and she also steals.
Right.
All the time.
All the time.
She steals bubblegum.
Like how you brought up, it isn't, we have to distinguish, like, if it's true, you know, we do need to approach it with, either way, if it's true or untrue, we still have to maintain trying to be unemotional.
Yes.
Right. And trying to not anger quickly, because either way, if we are in the wrong and this person is correct, which isn't slandered, they're coming to us, then
we need to be able to take that with grace. And if it is slanderous or it's behind our back and, you know, somebody is trying to spread rumors or gossip, then it's still important, I think, right off the bat to stay as calm as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Just because it's easy to slip into that, I think, wanting to kind of gossip about things,
right?
Because you feel emotional and because somebody's trying to slander you.
Yeah.
It's easy to kind of like have that whiplash reaction.
So the wrong response to slander is slandering in return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, you slandered about me, I'm going to talk about what you did wrong.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3:16 is have a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So having honorable character in public and in private, so that whenever people do say awful things about you, that they hear is like, you know what? I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true about them. They're honorable people. I know them. I know their family. I know I've been around them. I don't think that's true. So being honorable in your character so that when people do slander you, it's obvious that it's not true.
Yes.
And I think, too, if it isn't true, have peace knowing that God knows the truth.
Yeah.
And that he will be your defense.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's easy to want to defend yourself. And it's easy, not that you shouldn't say, no, this is what really happened, or this is what I said, or this is what I did. Not that you shouldn't. You shouldn't set the story straight, but there can be this feeling of frustration that comes up. She's like, that's not true. And I don't like that that's being said because it's not true. And it does paint a bad picture or, you know, what have you. But resting in the fact that God knows the truth.
Yeah.
So you can still say to whoever is bringing that charge to say, actually, this is what happened, but you don't have to take it to Facebook.
Yeah.
Or right. Instagram or wherever, and you know, set the whole story straight, clear your name, that kind of thing. You can rest knowing that God is the judge of the secrets of the hearts of men. We sing that song, and I printed off some of the lyrics. It's called Judge of the Secrets by Sovereign Grace. I'm trying to decide which part. I'm going to read the first verse and then the chorus. Mm-hmm. Oh, holy judge, here is my heart. What can I say to you? Where could I run? How could I hide? Darkness is day to you. The heart of a man is a maze within. So come light the way, illuminate sin. Nothing's concealed. All is revealed. Jesus, I yield to you. Judge of the secrets of the hearts of men, here I surrender and humbly repent. You've conquered my soul, now be its defense. Judge of the secrets of the hearts of men. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of peace that comes from those words of knowing that God knows the truth. He knows the heart. Yes. He knows the hearts behind the slanderer. He knows the hearts behind those being slandered.
Mm-hmm.
He sees what happens in secret places. Like you said, making sure that you're living above reproach in your like outward life and in your home life. And if you know those things aren't true, you don't have to get defensive and feel like you have to, you know, defend yourself. God will be your defense.
Yeah.
And there's so much peace from that. And oftentimes what I've found out is that time reveals the truth.
Yes.
Over time, when things settle down, they can feel really intense in the moment, especially as an elder's wife, they can feel super intense in the moment because you feel like your family's being attacked sometimes if it's coming from within the church. But knowing that time's going to reveal the truth and you don't have to be your defender.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of peace that comes from that.
Yeah. And I think, too, I don't want to derail your note here.
Oh, I was just thinking on,
I had a situation a while back where there was just a lot of dissension in a friendship. And they were in a different season of life, moving away. And so it was kind of an organic, not end, I guess, but there were just a lot of like misunderstandings, and she didn't understand the choices I was making. We were making for our family. And I think there were a lot of personal things just going on. And I didn't really know how to approach any of it without causing more problems, because she had to kind of figure things out on her own. And I don't know if she has or not, but one of the things that I started doing was just praying verses that made me, because I was hurt. And so I didn't naturally just want to pray blessings all the time over somebody that I was really bothered about and upset about our friendship not being as organic anymore, or feeling kind of strange. And so I pulled up a verse that I had kind of been praying. I didn't pray the whole verse, but it's James 2:16. And part of the verse, it says, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. And so I started praying things like that, like, Lord, let them go in peace, be warmed, be filled.
Because if they have that, you know, if they are slandering, if any of us are being slandered or any listeners are being slandered, they're not at peace. Mm-hmm. Because even if you have done something wrong, which it wouldn't, you know, and they are just slandering you, or if you haven't done anything wrong and they're just slandering you because they're angry, they're upset, then they're not at peace. Mm-hmm. And so that should grieve us, even if we're hurting too. I think it's helpful for us to set aside our own grievances against that person and then pray for them to be blessed and to go in peace, and that the Lord would work that out in themselves. Yeah. And then that, I think it frees us up to move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're saying, Lord, I truly, like, I'm surrendering these feelings of animosity or whatever it is to you. And I'm praying that you would bless them and make them peaceful with you.
Yeah. And I think
just remembering slandering is a sin. Slander is a sin. And so praying for conviction,
yes,
to come, that they would be repentant,
right,
what they've done wrong.
And they wouldn't have peace until they have conviction.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm glad you added that.
Okay. Matthew 5:11-12 is God tells us what to do when we are slandered. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So when we are slandered, God tells us exactly what to do. He says, rejoice, be glad, because we're blessed. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was really cool. Before, in our church, in a time that we had some slander going on, the elders and wives got together and feasted and fellowshipped, and it was like, okay, God tells us how to respond to this. Mm-hmm. Let's get together and just support one another, have a meal together, and know God tells us to rejoice and be glad that we're blessed. So I think just having that like-minded tribe is so important, that whenever things like this arrive, that we don't freak out and try to appease the person who's sinning, but instead we're like, nope, God tells us what to do. Let's join together and rejoice and be glad.
When we did that, that was the first time I think I had ever truly rejoiced after being slandered. And it felt weird at first. It was like, wait, we're going to have a meal and we're going to rejoice and fellowship together. But inwardly, it was, you know, a bit of a mess of just feeling grieved over situations and things like that. But then it was like a balm to the soul.
Yeah.
Of having sweet time and fellowship and sharing a meal together. And reminds me of, is it 1 Thessalonians 5 or 2 Thessalonians 5, where he says, rejoice always and pray without ceasing and all, you know, and all, give thanks in all things. And that is, when we're slandered, that's still giving thanks in all things. That's that is a situation where we're to be content, we're to be rejoicing, and we're to say, thank you, God.
Yeah.
And we don't have to thank him for the situation. I mean, can thank him for the situation, but we can also thank him for so much other things surrounding that. Thank you,
right,
brothers and sisters.
Right. And thank him for what he's revealing through the slander.
Yes.
Of like, God, there was some stuff under the surface that needed to be revealed, whether it be sin on the slanderer or the slanderee's part or whatever. God's doing a lot of things through difficulty and trial. So, yeah, we can praise him for the work that he does, even when we're sinned against. I think it's interesting that the very next verses in Matthew 5, 11 and 12 is what I just read. And then 13 through 15, I think I didn't write down the reference, though, is be salt and light.
Oh, interesting.
Is the salt and light verses. Yeah. So I just found that really interesting last night. Like, okay, when you're slandered against, you know, this is how you respond. You're be blessed, you know, rejoice. And then you're the light of the world.
Yeah.
Do not lose your saltiness.
Right.
That, you know, whenever salt is in a wound, it burns and stings. Right. And whenever you pick up a rock and there's squiggly things underneath, they're going to squiggle whenever the light is on them. And sometimes whenever you're just living out your life in a salty or bright way, there's going to be response from people around you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's going to lead to slander just because you're living your life in a salty or bright way.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that interesting today. Like, wow, God, thank you for kind of pointing that out, that sometimes the slander is because you were living in a bright way. And if there's sin in a surrounding situation, that's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If you're living in a different.
And I think also one of the things I was thinking about yesterday was
that so often you see churches that aren't stable really to begin with. There aren't Bible-believing Christians that truly follow the word and are steeped in the word, and you may not have, oh, sorry, I'm really like growly today. Maybe, I don't know if stable's a good word, but you can tell, I think, the strength of the church when situations like slanderous situations that end up kind of progressing throughout the church, or really any kind of sinful dissension that's spread throughout the church. And it can kind of crumble a church, or it can strengthen a church, a body of believers. And I think it is encouraging when you do see a body of believers that kind of recovers, submits their feelings about the situation to Christ. They come together, not in gossip, but just to say, you know, speak the word of truth over each other and say, we're going to move forward from this situation. To anybody that decided to leave for any reason, be blessed. We hope that you are at peace, that you repent if that's needed. And then it's encouraging, I think, as someone who is not an elder's wife, to see a church strengthened and not gossiping, and not, there aren't these women milling around where there's just a lot of hush-hush things and people know things, and it just constantly gets rehashed and rehashed. And so, unfortunately, I think there are a lot of churches where that may not always be the case. And it is encouraging when you do see like gossip shut down quickly. And
yeah, I think it's a stereotype of women that were going to be gossipy.
Right.
You're going to enable that. But instead, I think it's very important to be the type of woman that is courageous enough to be like, nope, absolutely zero tolerance for gossip.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about the situation.
Right.
We're going to talk about people, whether even if they were the ones in the wrong, we're not going to talk about it.
Right.
Just being zero. And you have to do that so hard. As a woman, like if Kate Hutchcraft, Hutchcraft, say, I am going to be the one that has zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone comes to me with gossip, I'm going to be the awkward person that's going to be like, you know what? That's gossip.
Right.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yes, talking about
how was your week?
Yeah.
Tell me something else. What did you cook for dinner last night? Got any good recipes for that? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to be awkward and say, no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to change this hot topic.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let it happen.
And I have never seen something disperse gossip so fast as someone stepping into the awkwardness and being okay with it and saying, nope, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
About
for
face,
your good,
turn
for my good,
around.
For this body of believers good, I will be awkward.
Yes. And I think, so if you are in a church where there is a lot of gossip going on, or there is slander or things like that, be that person.
Yeah.
Be that kind of woman.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it only takes a few.
Yeah. Change
the tone. And it only takes a few times of somebody hearing that to be like, oh, you know what? Kate's really not going to let me bend her ear to,
that's wrong.
You know, all of these things. So I'm just not even going to go to her about this stuff anymore, which is great. Or maybe, Lord willing, it would be a situation where the woman would be convicted of, oh, gosh, yeah, she's right. I am gossiping here. I'm not going to do this. And it wouldn't just be something that would prevent conversations with you. It would be something that would prevent those gossipy conversations with other women in the church,
right,
which will ultimately lead to a much healthier church.
Yeah.
If you have women that are gossiping and slandering each other, what a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Like how we're supposed to be. And I wrote down some verses of how we as women specifically are called to conduct ourselves. So as elders' wives, 1 Timothy 3:11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. So if you're an elder's wife, hold on to that verse. This is my calling.
Yeah.
This is how I am called to conduct myself.
Yeah.
As women in the church, Titus 2:3-5, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled.
Yeah.
So as just a woman in the church, that's your call. And then bigger umbrella, just as believers in general, Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And I think that last part of the verse brings me to another part of what our response should be when we're slandered. Don't let a root of bitterness grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Because bitterness and pride, I feel like, are very closely intertwined. But they can destroy your own heart. They can destroy friendships. They can destroy relationships within the church. They can destroy a family.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that God in Christ forgave us of so much.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to withhold that forgiveness from somebody else? What if they did do something terrible to us? Okay, you can still forgive them. That doesn't mean that you open yourself up to allow that behavior to continue. There's a difference there. But there shouldn't be an ounce of bitterness withheld in your own heart. So when you are slandered, whether it's somebody outside the church or inside the church, your response should be repentance, if there's something to repent of, and then forgiving them and moving on. Even if they don't apologize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if there is no apology there, you don't have to have an apology to not become bitter in your own heart. What do you know?
Yeah. In our family, were you going to go?
No. Okay. No, be fine.
In our family, when someone says sorry, we say totally and utterly forgiven. Mm-hmm. And that is our response because we want them to know they're completely, utterly, totally, it's completely gone, forgiven. And then we're like, okay, let's go. And we act normal now. We don't act awkward now. We don't not want to be around them or something. And we move on. And now we're happy with each other.
Yeah.
And we should be like that whenever someone else repents to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's over and done with. Like, don't think about it anymore. Don't talk about it anymore. We're done with that. So, yeah, that's a good note. Forgiveness.
I don't want to insert this in a weird place, but I kept thinking about when you said just go up, you know, if somebody's slandering or starting to gossip, just say, no, we shouldn't do that. We're going to move on to something else. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 20:19, it says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler.
Mm-hmm.
Can even just say, hey, Psalm 20 talks about being a simple babbler, and we don't want to be that.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on.
Yeah.
And like there's
no simple babbling.
No. Yeah. And I think kind of depending on your personality, it can feel awkward to say things like that.
You know what? If you
say things with a smile and a chuckle,
exactly.
You don't really bold things.
You can say, hey, let's not be simple babbling.
And that's like
your simple babbling. Let's move on from that.
Yeah.
And honestly, you can say some really straightforward things.
Yeah.
A smile and a chuckle is fine, and people don't get their feelings hurt.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah. Well, and if they do, they're like, you know, they're
kind of throwing a little harder.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about now when your husband is slandered and you are. And how to respond.
I thought you were going to segue into your thought.
So my husband has been slandered before, if you don't know Jared Sparks, of course. He has been slandered.
My husband has been slandered. Do you want to join the club?
Probably. I mean, he's not an elder, so I feel like he's not been on
the hot seat
too much. I'm sure he has been in. For some of the choices we may have made recently for our family, but
yeah. So I think first, be a person that has thick skin and don't get your feelings hurt easily. Don't whenever you hear something that someone said about your husband, don't let it bring you to shambles.
Yeah.
But be thick skin, water off a duck's back, whatever. I know it's not true. I know you're not Hitler, so
right.
It's fine. I know you love people. And I think be a good sounding board so that if there is some shred of truth that needs to be brought to light, okay, whatever, maybe you could be a better listener, you know?
Sure.
Listen to what it is and be like, okay, maybe, but it's not a big deal. But then also be the kind of person that can laugh it off
and
to bring them to the point where they can laugh it off. Be like, wow, okay, that's a new one. And be able to laugh about it with them so that you together can be encouraged and rejoice and focus on something that was not even true to begin with.
Right.
What was your thoughts?
My thoughts just kind of go back to what I said before. It's just, you know the truth. You know who your husband is. You know, and you of all people as a wife know who your husband is behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know the integrity of his character and you know his heart, you know how he loves people, you know all of the ways that he cares for people. This is speaking from an elder's wife perspective specifically, but you know all of the things that he does to care for people within the church. So when accusations are made, there's that piece of knowing the truth of just going, okay, well, that's kind of ridiculous. I know that that's not true. And I can just take comfort in that. I don't have to I don't feel the need to get up in arms about
yeah.
something that's not true necessarily. It can be frustrating at times, but again, there's just a lot of peace of knowing, no, God knows. God knows what happened. I know what happened. I know that those things are true, and that's okay. It's okay if to just trust the Lord with that.
So also enabling your husband to be courageous. Like you want them to be the kind of men who are in the backwood square saying things that need to be said and not being afraid to do that. And a way that you can cripple your husband is you getting your feelings hurt when someone doesn't like that.
Or encouraging him to back down.
Yeah,
what the Bible says, just to appease
that men. Hurt their feelings. So you should have said that in a different
way. It's your fault.
Yeah. It's your fault their feelings were hurt because you were not gentle enough. You know, you want to love your neighbor and be gentle. So let me cut you off at the knees. You can no longer be courageous in the
right.
square. That's not what we want to do as wives. We don't want to be the type of women that are like that. They're like, oh, maybe they have a point. I'm going to take the side of sin instead of the side of my husband. So, you know, you didn't say that in the right way. Yeah. It's like, no, take your husband's side. And let's, again, caveat. If there's truth in it, I'm not saying ignore if there's a sin problem.
Right.
But I am saying you should take your husband's side. Like, that should be what you're drawn to taking, not because you're fearful of man and you're going to take the side.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything okay with him?
Yeah, I'm good.
Not taking the side of the person who is in sin.
Right.
And appeasing the monster.
I think sometimes there can be that feeling, too, where you do want to defend your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing I found, anyway, is to be his help and to be his support and to make home as wonderful and joyous of a place as possible. Mm-hmm. Brandon loves chocolate chip cookies. And so, and it's like, that's his only dessert preference. He's like, chocolate chip cookie cake or chocolate chip cookies, and that's it. So if we're in a hard season where there's things coming at him from all sides, he doesn't need to come home to chaos. Not to mean that he's not going to come home.
Right.
You know, sound.
The normal
and noise.
Like, chaos.
We can be a peaceful home while being loud.
Right.
Which we often
doesn't are. Mean that the kids have to all sit down and not be as worried because...
Dad, guys,
we're going to be really quiet.
Yeah, and don't we say a word. I think he'd be really weirded out if he came home and our house was silent.
This is so sad. He's like, well,
then what's going on?
Nobody say anything.
But I think there is a lot of help that we can do as wives at home as far as making home a really peaceful place, making it a joyful place. For me, it was, it's, you know, going to make chocolate chip cookies that day.
Right.
That's what we're going to do. Make his favorite meal and listen to him if he wants a sounding board, if he has somebody to talk to, process things with.
Comfort him in the way only you can.
Yeah,
leave it at that. And I think part of it, too, is just knowing your husband and knowing how he needs to decompress.
Yeah.
So every, like, Ben needs to process things more quick, or I guess a little bit less quickly than I do, and he needs to think on them alone first. And I very much need to talk through things and get through it and move on. And so when we were first married, I wanted him to always bring me all of his problems, and like I wanted to problem solve and move along and, you know, let's run out the list and that's not how he works. He needs to process it and think about it and then come to me, and then we can think about like resolution. And so, yeah, if they're being slandered or they're having a rough time with something, just knowing your husband or learning your husband, if you're newly married, learning what is what they need versus what we think they need.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, too, if you're married to an introvert, giving them, like you said, giving them that time and space to process, because you and I, Kate, are wired similarly in that way. And Brandon and Ben are similar because Brandon wants time and space.
Mm-hmm.
And there can be that, and sometimes it can be sinful desire for me to want to know what's going on. Like, well, how did the meeting go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's being, you know, but that's not my place.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my business.
Right.
If there's something he needs to think through, process, wants to talk to me about, I can be a safe place and a sounding board, but it's really not my, from an elder's wife, we are to be the support for our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
We are not to meddle in all of the other things. That's not our role. Our role is to be a good wife.
Mm-hmm.
Just like every other woman in a church that's married, their role is to be a good wife, or
the only
role, but,
yeah.
You know, anyway, again, don't have to caveat everything, but, but
knowing how your husband processes stuff so that when he is slandered, when there is a really intense season, you know how to come alongside him and be a help, and you don't turn into a leaky faucet of a wife that's just like, I want to know what this is. I want to, you know, because that's wrong. We don't need to be meddlesome in that way.
I don't know how much, if you have anything left, but I have a couple books to share that I thought were helpful.
I don't know. And wonder if one of our books is as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Nancy Olson read the book True Companion, and it's very helpful. So I would recommend that book. And then we read Joel Rigney's book, Leadership and Emotional Sabotage, and it's so good.
Yes. Well, those are my two books.
Oh. It's like we've been talking. Yeah. So I found those both helpful.
Those were really helpful. I appreciated Nancy's approach to in True Companion. And some of it gave me a lot of perspective, kind of what I had just said earlier, of knowing, okay, what do I do to help? Where what's my role in this? What's my duty here? And I found that to be very helpful when walking through different seasons with him as an elder and things that he works through, you know. She has a lot of wisdom to share, though. And I wish I would have read that like a couple years ago, even when, how long has Brian been elder? 2-3 years? I don't know. However long it's been, I wish that was something that I would have read like at the beginning, because it was so encouraging and helpful. And just as a wife in general, it's helpful. So it's a really good book.
Cool. All right. Anything else, guys? All right. I think that's all I got too. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.